Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Everyone here is regularly attending Bhakti Sangha programs, they call them in this country, Bhakti Sangha. Are there any newcomers or old comers? Yes, no, maybe. Have to think about it. Take us. Who's regularly been coming to programs, Krishna Conscious program? Please raise your hand. Shaved up and in Brahmachari class, but is not coming to the programs. Who's not regularly? Who's a newcomer? Okay, I just so I can understand how I, what level I should speak. Srila Prabhupada, when he was first preaching in the West, first preaching means the first few years. For the first few years, people were just amazed. They couldn't imagine when they saw. Of course, Prabhupada was in New York, which is a very cosmopolitan city. Which, if you haven't been there, you can't imagine what it's like. Have you been to London, something like that? Very cosmopolitan city, where there are people from all over the world, and all kinds of strange things go on there. So Prabhupada himself, when he was in New York, wasn't so strange, because he was an old Indian man from the external point of view. But when Prabhupada's American disciples started shaving their heads and going out in the streets and chanting Hare Krishna, even in New York, it attracted quite some attention. Even in those days, the mid-1960s, where things were going little strange. The hippies were, their motto was to be different. But Prabhupada was, and his followers were more different than anyone. So in the beginning you'll find early publications of the Krishna Conscious Movement with articles like, "What is Krishna Consciousness?" And in Prabhupada's books you'll find, just like at the beginning of Krishna book, in the introduction, Prabhupada writes that many people, when they see the picture of Krishna, they ask, who is Krishna? And who is that girl with Krishna? And then Prabhupada, throughout the whole introduction, he explains who is Krishna. He didn't explain who is the girl with Krishna. That's more confidential. But anyway, in the beginning, people are like, what is this? What's it all about? Whereas Prabhupada's preaching in India was somewhat different. Because in India people know something about Krishna. They know less than they think they do, and probably too much of the wrong things. But they think they know something about Krishna. So in India Prabhupada's preaching was more like, not exactly, not from the very basic level, but more to throw out the misconceptions. Because India is very interesting in the sense that, as Prabhupada said, everyone in India is Krishna conscious. That doesn't mean they're pure devotees. It's like Prabhupada also said, Kamsa was Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means thinking of Krishna. To be aware. Consciousness, what does that mean? When we say Krishna consciousness, that in its fullest sense means to be always thinking of Krishna favorably, to be a pure devotee. But consciousness at the minimum level means to be aware of, at least in English it means. I am conscious that I am aware. I am conscious that it is hot. We are conscious of it. It means that we're not thinking of it. It is hot, it is hot, it is hot. But we're aware. So Prabhupada said everyone in India is Krishna conscious. At least there's some awareness of Krishna. Doesn't mean they're all pure devotees. So Krishna conscious but still conditioned souls. So what happens when people are aware of Krishna and maybe they have some affection towards Krishna? Some, you'll see even now in the temples in India on Janmashtami, you'll find so many, literally tens of, in Bombay in our temple we'll find literally they reckon up to 1 million visitors in one day. Well, the day goes on until about 5 o'clock the next morning, but like that, the huge crowd. So there is at least sentiment for Krishna, but still people are conditioned souls. And Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita how not to be a conditioned soul, which is sarvadhamam parityajya mamekam sharanam braja, to give up all concocted ideas of what it means to be religious and simply surrender to me. But people are conditioned souls, and conditioned souls, they have four prominent tendencies called brahm pramad vipralipsa karana patav, which means to make mistakes, to be illusioned, to have a cheating propensity, and to have imperfect senses. So when someone approaches Krishna in a different mood to that of Arjuna, Arjuna, shishyasteyang shadimam tam prapannam, now I'm willing to accept what you say, I'm in a submissive mood. When people approach Krishna in a different mood, maybe some sentiment but not very much prepared to surrender to him, then we get all kinds of different ideas, and that is called Hinduism. And it is quite an astonishing mix. There are all kinds of different ideas, which, as Prabhupada also said about Indian people, he said Hinduism is a, I can't remember exactly, but he said it's a concocted hodgepodge going on under the auspices of Mayavad. So you'll find people who are devotees of Krishna, but some very strange attitudes, just like that's described in Prabhupada Lilamrita, how one of Prabhupada's disciples, when he was first in India, he was visiting the Radha Damodar temple, where they have many deities. Actually, originally, each deity is supposed to have his own temple, but they brought all the different deities in one temple and then sold off the land and property. So one pujari was asking him, which one do you like? I like that one. It reminds me of King George VI. So strange attitudes, very strange attitudes. And there are so many strange attitudes. You'll find so many people there, they'll come to the temple and go like this. But if you speak with them, they'll say, well, I don't believe in Krishna, but we're doing it, it's our duty, it's our religion. We should maintain our religion. We hate the Muslims. So we should come to the temple. And so many funny ideas. And they end in the name of Krishna. Yes, we're eating meat. Krishna never said in Bhagavad Gita that you shouldn't eat meat. So many funny ideas. So Prabhupada, he was preaching in India differently to the way he was preaching in the West, because according to the people's mentality, what does preaching mean? Preaching means to address the un-Krishna conscious mentality of people. Point out what is the defect and show what is the actual fact that we're supposed to surrender to Krishna. In preaching there are two phases, two main divisions, Prem Pracharan or Pashanda Dalan. That means to teach love of God and to smash all the bogus ideas and the bogus people also. Actually, that's what it means. So, of course it's easy to talk about Prem, love of Krishna, but what happens is that you give the idea love of Krishna enters people's head and it mixes with all their misconceptions which are born of rascaldom because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. So this brahm pramad vipralipsa karana patav, we misunderstand about Krishna, we make mistakes about Krishna, we have the cheating propensity, so we say yes, I love Krishna. Even people, they have these t-shirts, I love Krishna. They're so, they're proclaiming, I love Krishna, as they're smoking their cigarette. So, Brahmapramad Vipsalips and imperfect senses. So all these, when the idea of love of Krishna comes in the head, and we mix it up with all our imperfections, then we don't get love of Krishna. We may get something that we sentimentally consider to be love of Krishna, or we may cheat ourselves and cheat others that we're in love of Krishna. But actual love of Krishna means we have to, first of all, follow what Krishna tells us to do. We have to give up our material attachments and surrender to Krishna. There's no love of Krishna without surrender to Krishna, because our constitutional position is servant and his constitutional position is master. So without first accepting that, without accepting his terms and conditions, there's no question of love. So that's what we find, a general kind of mix-up, which is why I was asking who's here and who's new and who's coming regularly. Because it's different when we're preaching to new people. When we're preaching to people newly coming, then we're preaching, you know, what is Krishna consciousness basically. And then with older people, usually it's, okay, you came in, you got this far, and now here we are. We're stuck here with all our misconceptions and our attachments, very often, if we're not seriously applying ourselves to the process, and if we're not actually surrendering to Krishna, if we're not getting good association, or in the name of Krishna consciousness, we may be getting bad association, that's also possible. Because so many people say so many things. So it may be that in the name of Krishna consciousness, we're, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned, that we're cultivating something which is not actually Krishna consciousness, but it may look something like Krishna consciousness. So it can be a very subtle difference. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example that we are cultivating a creeper of bhakti. A creeper can grow up with the support of a strong tree. So that the creeper of bhakti that is growing, being watered by hearing and chanting about Krishna. But it's also possible that if we're not careful to take out the weeds, then a bogus creeper will grow up, or several of them, which look like the real thing, but which is actually the wrong thing, and which chokes the actual creeper of love of God. It's also possible, although this example isn't given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, but we can extrapolate the example a bit, that the hearing and chanting, it's just like if you put poisonous water. One thing, if you don't put water, then the creeper will dry up, as we see this summer. Everything's drying up because there's not rain or no sufficient rain. Or the other thing is, if we put some poisonous water, then again the creeper will be poisoned. It won't grow nicely. So we have to be very careful. A gardener knows that you have to tend the plants, have to be looked after in a certain way. Even when you put, even the very beginning, the seed, each individual seed needs to be planted in a certain type of soil to get the best result. And then you have to plant it at a certain depth, and you may have to make furrows, you know, furrows where you have to make the land like this. If you make furrows, and then you have to water every different plants require different amount of water, and then as they get bigger, then you have to transplant them, and there's so many different things. If your gardening is going to be successful, it's a science. People even go to the university to study. Previously they just learned from their fathers. Now they go to the university to study how to grow plants. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness, it is a science. It has to be executed in a proper manner, otherwise the proper result won't be there. You may get some plant and it may grow up so far, but then it may not grow any further, or it may not give flowers or fruits. You stop watering, or put the wrong kind of, or some poisoned water, or tap water with lots of chlorine, whatever it may be, then the plant won't grow very nicely. This is why Prabhupada, he subtitled the book called The Nectar of Devotion. He gave the subtitle, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga, Devotional Science. The Complete Science. And we'll find in the Nectar of Devotion so many rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. So all these rules and regulations are meant to help us go ahead properly in bhakti. If we follow, then we'll advance fast. And if we don't, then we won't. That's all. If we think, well, you know, no need to water the plants. So we can just put any water. Instead of, you see, I've got a good idea. Instead of watering with just, you know, 100 milliliters every day to save myself the work, I'll come every 10 days and put one whole big bunch of water. That's a good idea. Right? It doesn't work like that. There's a science how to do it. One of our devotees, he grew these tulsi plants so high up above my head, and he went for his Brajamandal Parikrama, and he told everyone, don't put water on tulsi, and of course they did. He came back and the plants were all finished, because at that season there's enough in the soil, there's enough water. If you put more, then they're going to rot. So huge plants he grew up and finished. Because they thought, we're doing something very good out of sentiment. They thought, we should water tulsi. Why is he depriving tulsi of water? We should put water. And the result, they all died. He came back from Brajamandal Parikrama, all these beautiful tulsi. So we should be very careful. We have a tendency to take to Krishna consciousness sentimentally. And if anyone comes along and smiles and says, oh, this is really wonderful, and they give some reference, you see, Prabhupada was doing this or something, he may or may not have been doing it. Or somehow or other, people, they try to mix Krishna consciousness with materialistic ideas. Ideas that are not given in Shastra, not given by Acharyas, not given by bona fide gurus. And we think, well, you know, that would be really good, you know, if we just mix in a little bit of that. And, you know, if we have our... What we really need to develop Krishna consciousness is Vastu. The real problem why we're not becoming Krishna conscious is because we don't have everything organized according to Vastu. So this is the solution to all the problems. I'm just giving an example. There are so many examples. So, I mean, I'm not against Vastu. It's a bona fide Vedic science. But you can have everything perfect Vastu and still go to hell. And you can have everything the worst Vastu, you chant Hare Krishna and you go to Krishna. So it's supplementary at best. But I'm just giving as an example how sometimes I become so, this is really it, you know. Or what we really need to preach Krishna consciousness is a hard rock band. That will make all the difference. Hard rock band. This, you know, all these years we've been preaching Krishna consciousness, and we never really understood that what is really going to make the difference and really make everyone become fully Krishna conscious is to have a hard rock band with me as the lead singer. So we have all these different ideas. And we find some quote, you see, Prabhupada, he also went to some concert of devotees, and Prabhupada liked it, of course he stopped it later, but, you know, take that quote out, and you know, oh yeah, this is it. So there are so many ways in which we cheat. Just like there was one devotee I was staying with, this is quite a long time ago. So I said, hey Prabhu, you know, you're getting up every morning at 8 o'clock, this is no good. What's the problem? You're getting up early, but you take rest in the day. I just sleep all at one big stretch, what's the difference? He didn't follow that. He said to me, well, you're rising early to me, but then you take rest in the day. So I just sleep all in one stretch. It's the same. What is the difference? It's a good argument, isn't it? What is the problem with this argument? The problem is that our gurus, all our previous acharyas, by practice and precept, have instructed to rise early, to take advantage of the Brahma Muhurta. So it becomes a specious argument. Bogus, you can say. So it's a better known word. Bogus argument. So like this, there are many different ideas which we may suggest in our own heads, or others may suggest to us, which seem pretty good. That's it, okay. Or they may say, why be so fanatical about Krishna consciousness? You should take it easy, be normal, and integrate with life as it is. We're living in the real world. That's bogus. We're not living in the real world. The real world is Golok Vrindavan. That's the whole problem. We think this is real. We think that the way people are living, this is actually reality. And we should integrate with that, and then people will like us more, and that will make everyone Krishna conscious. So what it all amounts to is various forms of self-deception, and which is actually the root of this is actually our unwillingness to surrender to Krishna, which is actually enviousness of Krishna, because we don't want to surrender to Krishna. So it's just like Prabhupada said, when I came to the West, it was so easy to preach, because in India, as soon as you say something, they say, well, Swamiji, what about this and what about that, and they'll make this argument and that argument and try to avoid surrendering to Krishna, which is why Prabhupada would come in with a sledgehammer in his preaching. This is rascal. It's an open door. And not, well, yes, that's a very good argument, let's consider this way. We have to respect everyone's opinion. No. We respect Krishna's opinion. And any other opinion, we don't respect, because it's bogus. It's envious of Krishna. So, that's one way of preaching. Of course, you could say, well, people may not like it. But the preacher's duty is not to simply have people like him on the superficial level, but his duty is to preach in such a manner that they can understand what is the truth. And if they don't, if they insist on being on rascals, what can you do? At least it's your duty to say so. Then in the West, Prabhupada said it was so easy, because you just go and tell people that this is Krishna consciousness, and many people, they just take it up. But now, not like that. Now we have the Western version of Hinduism, minus the inherent piety of Indian people. Because it's the same tendency, that we hear something about Krishna, and we like it, and we try to follow it, but then for whatever reason, we take it easy, we relax a little bit, and then we say, well, it's like this, and we have to be realistic, and this is good, and that's good, and everything is good, and yes, just avoid surrendering to Krishna. So, this is the Western world today. It's when we're preaching Krishna consciousness among people who have taken to Krishna consciousness, we generally find that devotees, they get stuck at a certain point, and then they try to justify that, saying that, okay, don't push me anymore, I'm here now, so just leave me like this. So my duty as a sannyasi is to come around and give everyone a little kick. Or a big kick. And I mean, you can also just pat people and say, yes, yes, what you're doing is very nice. And actually, it's true also. If you look from another perspective, it's also true. Because anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, that's very nice. But on the other hand, without a, it's just like a car that's stalled, you know. Sometimes you need to give it a little push. Stalled, you know, you're driving, stops. You get water in the petrol or something like that. So the car stops. So it needs a, you need to push start it. So it needs a little bit of a push. Prabhupada said ours is a pushing movement. Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj is pushing me. I am pushing you, referring to his disciples, and you should push others. So of course we should know how to push people towards Krishna. The problem is sometimes when you push people they run away further away from Krishna. Oh, I have to surrender? Well, there's always the Sai Baba temple, I can go there. So it's actually a test of our sincerity that we have to look and see. Are we ready to, do we really want to surrender to Krishna? What do we have to do? What should we do to improve our situation? How can we follow more strictly and carefully? What can we do to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission? So actually the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. Very simple. It's so simple that it's amazing how simple it is, and yet somehow other people always try to make it more complex. So just as a reminder, the process of Krishna consciousness is that we rise early in the morning, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, minimum 16 rounds on beads. Observe Mangalati and Kirtan early in the morning. Associate with devotees. Associate with devotees means that not that we simply come together and say, hello, how are you? But we perform devotional service together. Devotional activities, hearing, chanting, offering prasadam, going on sankirtan. Then we study Prabhupada's books, we follow what's in Prabhupada's books. And as much as possible, we try to spread Krishna consciousness. So it's a very simple formula, and if we follow that, then we become ecstatic. We get blessed with Krishna's mercy. The nectar of the benediction moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement shines on us, and our life becomes enriched with the bliss of Krishna consciousness. But we have to be very careful, this tendency to take it easy. And we also have to be careful of becoming sidetracked. Do you know this word? Going off on a side tangent. We have to be very careful. Because that tendency is very strong. And even you see there are so many, you may think, you know, why am I speaking like this? Because I'm speaking like this because I've observed maybe in Croatia more than in many other places. There are many strange ideas floating around in the name of Krishna consciousness. I'm not sure exactly if the waves have reached to Chagovic. It's almost on the border of three other countries, isn't it? Austria, Hungary and Slovenia. So, but anyway, I want to make this point, and I'll be making it more as I stay in this area for the next few days. That Krishna consciousness is very simple, but we have to follow it as it is. Prabhupada always used this term, as it is. We should follow Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada has given it to us. And by Prabhupada's mercy, we'll go to Krishna. It's very simple. But if we mix up with so many different funny ideas, then we'll get mixed up in the material world. We'll remain in the material world. Now, one very great danger is that often it's these all kind of materialistic or strange, semi-spiritual or pseudo-spiritual ideas, they're being introduced from within our ISKCON, or what's supposed to be ISKCON. That makes it more dangerous, because then we think that, well, you know, it's a devotee said that, and even a senior devotee. So we tend to think that, well, just because some senior devotee does something or says something, that it's authorized. But we should develop a sense of discrimination based on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, particularly what we know that Prabhupada has taught. If we want to advance clearly, then we have to understand what Prabhupada has taught and follow that. And if we see something different, then whoever is saying that, even they may be, you know, temple president, GBC, guru, or whatever, then if it's not what Prabhupada taught us, if it's a clear deviation, then we should know this isn't going to help us. It's not going to help us develop our love of Krishna. So these are very simple principles, which I'm sorry, I feel the need to speak like this, but it's inevitable. It's inevitable. Wherever Krishna consciousness is preached, that's the whole story of the material world. People come to the material world because we come here because we're envious of Krishna. And then Lord Brahma receives the Vedic knowledge from Krishna and he speaks it. And he disseminates it through great sages, his mental born sons like Marichi and Narad and Kratu and so many others. And they disseminate it, and they're born from Brahma. There are different kinds of people born from Brahma, and then from Prajapatis like Kashyapa and Daksha. There are different kinds of people who are born, including the Rakshasas and the Asuras and the Daityas and the Danavas, as well as the demigods and the Siddhas and the Rishis and the human beings. And then even among human beings, there are different kinds of people who present different kinds of philosophy, which are superficially based on the Vedas. And then so we get teachers like Jaimini and Karad and Gautam and Ashtavakra. They teach different philosophies among the pious people. These bogus philosophies, they're preached among pious people who are interested in transcendence. Not these philosophies are not preached among the Rakshasas, because they're just Rakshasas, they're not interested in any such thing. But the wrong ideas are preached among people who have a pious tendency, but something is wrong. They're not really on the line to surrender to Krishna. And then in the modern age, then we get so many strange things. I gave an example just now, Sai Baba. I mean, he's a prominent example of the madness that goes on in the name of spiritual life. That people, they think he's God, which is anyone who's got any knowledge of the science of God, they can understand immediately this person is absolutely a cheater. But people who, they're not interested in understanding according to Shastra or even common sense, then they're cheated. As Prabhupada said, there are many cheaters who will come to cheat you. If you want to be cheated, there's a whole gang of cheaters lined up. I'm God. No, I'm God. No, I'm God. There are so many bogus gods, all denying the supremacy of Krishna. So that's an extreme example. But it's the same tendency. Brahma spoke, the Rishis spoke, and then later different people came, and they're also Vedic scholars and sadhus, and they speak so many things, and people get misled. So it's inevitable, you see the same thing happen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the Krishna conscious movement, the chant Hare Krishna, very simple. And then later, actually just after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many funny, Aau, Dao, Kata, Bhaja, Nera, Darabesh, Sai, Sahajya, Smarta, Gauranga Nagari, Jat Gosai, there are 30, I'm not remembering all the names just now. So all these funny different upper sampradayas came out, which means, upper sampradaya means that there's something looks right about them, but on the other hand there's something inherently wrong. So it looks like it could be quite good. Just like Gauranga Nagari, they're famous, they do very sweet kirtan, and they worship Lord Chaitanya. That's good, isn't it? They do sweet kirtan, and they worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they've made a cardinal mistake, that they consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be in the mood of enjoying Vishnu Priya. They put him in the mood of an enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's come in the mood of the servant of Krishna. So they're interfering with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. And then sahajya, there are so many. Sahajya means that which is natural. So it's not something new. You've heard these ideas in Croatia that you should just, you know, get in touch with your inner being and be natural and don't try to do anything artificial. This is exactly sahajya philosophy. Sahaj means that which is natural. And the sahajya idea is that you should just, exactly what I said, you should just do what is natural. And what does it end up in? Sex. Because when you start thinking about my natural inner feelings and you're not a pure devotee of Krishna, then it comes down to sex. So you're fine, my inner feelings, and it ends up with, you know, running away with someone else's wife. Or in the Bengali Sahajya tradition, you don't run away with them, you just have, you know, you just all mix up. That's all. So all these bogus things came out after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness, and exactly the same thing is happening after Prabhupada. He spread Krishna consciousness very widely, people became attracted, and afterwards so many different ideas came. Well, you know, we could just do it a little bit differently. This will be really wonderful. You know, Prabhupada taught everything, but I've got a better, you know, just a little bit, something different. And you end up, and we have to have another list. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a list of 13, and we'll have another list. But it's all the same basic tendencies that we don't want to surrender to Krishna. We want to have sense gratification in the name of Krishna. And innocent people are very easily misled. They don't see the difference. Innocent means, why be innocent? Prabhupada has given us so many books. We should read them and understand and follow them. Then we won't be misled. So please don't be misled. Read Prabhupada's books. Read them in what mood? Sarvametadritangvanya yangmangvadisikesham. Just like Arjuna said to Krishna, that my dear Krishna, I accept everything you say. Not that, well, Prabhupada said this, but actually we should interpret it just a little bit differently. Everything finished. Bogus. So please follow Krishna consciousness as it is, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It's a very straightforward process. If we follow it, we'll go to Krishna. If we don't, if we try to modify it according to our own sense gratificatory ideas, then we won't go to Krishna. We won't get the result. It's a scientific process, just like with the plants and the trees. If you don't look after them in the proper standard way, they may grow, but not in the proper way. You won't get the fruits and flowers. You'll get some kind of stunted tree. So you may fool yourself that this is the real thing, but it's not. So please be very careful. The process of Krishna consciousness is given to us by Prabhupada is always there. We can always take to it. But we have to be very careful not to be misled by others and not to cheat ourselves in the name of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah.
Prabhupada was so successful in preaching consciousness, Krishna consciousness in the West, because he used to preach according to Kaladesha and Patra.
Prabhupada was successful in preaching Krishna consciousness in the West because he preached according to time, place and circumstance. But he didn't adjust himself to the time, place and circumstance. He adjusted the time, place and circumstance to Krishna consciousness. He knew the art. He didn't become the time, place and circumstance.
I wanted to ask, what is the... It takes a little bit of intelligence to know...
It takes intelligence and sin. Don't think I've become more intelligent than Vyasadeva.
No,
than Prabhupada. Certainly it requires intelligence. It requires intelligence to distinguish between that which is real and that which is not. But if the intelligence is fixed, then it's very clear right from the beginning what's what. So, any other question? Yeah, please.
Možeš li nam objasniti šta za tebe znači prijanost Krišne? I dati nam nekakav savjet kako da mi to postignemo. Odnosno, možeš nam reći kako izgleda tvoj jedan dan od postojanja do dok vidiš krevet.
So can you please explain to us what does it mean Krishna consciousness for you, and how one day in your life looks, and can you please give us advice how can you develop this?
What does Krishna consciousness mean for me? Well, basically Krishna consciousness is the same for everyone. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna. So a person who is Krishna, as Prabhupada said, a person who is in Krishna consciousness, he has his symptoms, just like a rich man has his symptoms. So the basic symptom is satitam kirtayanto mangyatantas chajura brataha, that one should always be engaged in glorifying Krishna and with great commitment serving Krishna all the time. So my one day, how it is, it's different every day, actually. But personally, I'm either traveling and like this, meeting people, giving lectures, and going for public harinams, or I'm sitting and writing. These are the two main phases of my life. What about you?
Ali ne putujem puno. Više pijam.
I do the same things, but I don't travel.
That's nice. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's basically the same for everyone. The basic program is the same. You have a bead bag. Put your hand in it. Pick up the beads. And you say. What do you say?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then you move your hand to the next bead. And then what do you say?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You go on like that. I know. And we chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra every day. And then the rest of the day is dedicated to actualizing our chanting. That means that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're asking Krishna, please engage me in your service. And the rest of the day is dedicated to putting that into practice. And it may be different in different ways for different devotees. But the basic principle is the same for everyone. Is that a church they're singing? Or?
Yes, it's a church.
It's people singing, actual live singing.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church lives on in some places.
Catholic Church of
It's a Protestant church.
No, it's a Catholic.
Catholic church. I have one disciple, he lives in one area of London. And so he was a shopkeeper in that area, he was at that time. So he was organizing the local people to against thieves and all this kind of thing. So he got to know the local priest, and the priest invited him to come to the church for the main service on Christmas Day.
London seems to be devoted.
So he went, there's a borough of London with, you know, maybe, I don't
know,
probably at least 100,000 people living there in the close area. So this is the main service of the year. The priest was there, he was there, and one old lady was there. So don't make our Krishna conscious movement like that. There has to be life. Life comes from dedication. Because they compromise so much, and then there's nothing there for people to go to. There's no transcendental experience. When I was a kid at school, it was a Catholic school. I have something in common with you. So they were having the same problem, that the young people, which was us at that time, they weren't interested in religion. So they were trying to do things like having guitars and singing songs. Jesus, Jesus, ding da ding da ding da ding, we love you. But it didn't work, because there was no substance there. There's nothing. There's no, for a start, we weren't interested in spiritual life in the slightest, because, you know, we're just young, and we're just experiencing the opportunities to indulge our very strong senses. But they're trying to make it attractive, but failed. So it's the same thing, that unless there is if we have that strong spirit of really desiring to please Krishna, serve the Sankirtan mission, then we may resort to gimmicks to try to bring people, but it won't last. Or even superficial people may be attracted to some gimmicks, but the real substance is surrender. There's no replacement for that dedication and surrender. Then comes the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Nowadays it's very popular to talk about Krishna prema and gopis and all this, but without surrender, without strictly following the regulated principles, it's just talk, that's all. So, anything else? Yeah.
Can you explain why we need to because we have to house, how we make a house temple.
What is the purpose of a temple? Is that the question? The purpose of a temple is to give shelter and training to persons interested in Krishna consciousness, serious about Krishna consciousness, for those who are living, and then to set an example for people not living in the temple, so that they can at home practice Krishna consciousness, and as a base for preaching Krishna consciousness, for going out to preach Krishna consciousness in various places. So these are basically the purposes of temples. They're not essential for spreading Krishna consciousness, but they are certainly important. Which language are they singing in?
It's Croatian.
In Croatian. What are they singing? Can you make it out?
Oh my Lord, something. To be blessed who came in the name of God.
That means Jesus.
Yeah.
They're blessing him?
Please God, pray for us.
Yeah.
We praise Him.
We have some church in Split. Outside of Split, there is one Hill Marion, and then they have some small church there in Chapel. And then people are coming. It's very famous. People are coming and writing. They're like in India, and writing their desires and gratefulness to God. And then somebody wrote, "Dear God, please pray for us." God, pray for us.
To whom?
To whom?
Oh, I see.
Like a death note. It's a joke.
No.
Then anything else?
Mr. Rache, can I ask outside of the team?
Yeah, please do.
I read that, it's explained that 10 avatars of Vishnu, Buddha and Parashurama,
Shaktyavesh.
Yeah, they are Shaktyavesh. And why are they included among 10 incarnations of Vishnu if they are not?
Why among the 10 Das Avatar are Buddha and Parashuram included? Shaktyavesh Avatar means they act.
Can I translate?
Yeah, okay, sorry. As from the conditioned soul's point of view, there's no difference between the activities of a Shaktyavesh Avatar and a regular Vishnu Tattva. Shaktyavesh means they're fully empowered with the power of God for performing a particular activity. So these Das Avatars, they're important for us here in the material world. They appear here in this material world and perform specific activities. So Parashuram and Buddha have been included. They're not full Vishnu avatars. Maybe Lord Vishnu didn't personally want to do their activities, but he empowered certain persons to do so. Is that all right?
There was one question we were discussing last time here. Madhavendra Puri Prabhu was there about demigods existing in the spiritual world. Are they existing? What is their
purpose? There are persons in the Vaikuntha Lokas who, there are certain persons who may appear similar to, or rather the demigods appear similar to them. Just like this Vinayaka, Ganesh, there's a representative, or rather, the original is in the spiritual world. What is their function there? I'm not sure exactly how they're serving the Lord there. Maybe they're in the administration of the spiritual world also. I can't say exactly.
Actually, the question was that there is no need for electricity or light, but still for...
But still there's moon, sun, yeah, those things are there. There's no need.
I mean, these are Chandra.
Yeah, still the moon and sun are there in Krishna's lila. There's no need, just like for nourishment of the earth and for maintaining the cosmic order. There's no need. But the moon and the sun, yeah, that's the answer actually. The moon and the sun in Krishna Lila, they contribute to Krishna's pastimes. So we can say that the forms which to us appear like demigods or in the spiritual world, they have a particular contribution to Krishna's pastimes. Everything in the spiritual world is meant for Krishna's pleasure. In various, everyone has their service to perform for Krishna's pleasure. And someone else had a question?
How can a person develop a taste for the holy name? What is the best way to develop a taste for the holy name?
What is the best way? Well, It's It's a composite of ways. The way is to perform devotional service, to follow the process of bhakti yoga. See, all these how-to questions. How can I become humble? How can I become sincere? How can I develop a taste? But the answer in every case is to follow the process of bhakti yoga. And this, all these things come by following the process. It's not that I'm going to give you an answer. Look, you know, Rupa Goswami said this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but I've got something else special. I'm going to tell you how you can get a taste for the holy names, which Rupa Goswami hasn't given. There's no such thing. Everything is there. Follow the process, and in course of time, if we follow sincerely and avoid offenses, then in course of time, sincerity, humility, purity, sense control, taste for the holy names, everything will come. Follow the process very carefully. There is no other way. There's no pill. Or it's just like devotees, just like I tell you, there's devotees read something. Someone was telling me that someone had said that they saw some prayers to Radharani, and if you say these prayers like 100, these long prayers, if you say them 108 times standing in Radha Kund, then you can get direct darshan of Radharani, something like this. So one devotee did that, and he went through it all, and then anyway, it seems he didn't get whatever the result was supposed to be. Then he went back and he saw he left one sheet behind, the photocopied sheet. So even if he hadn't left it, you know, there was one verse missing at the end. So he did it. He chanted the whole thing 108 times. But the thing, we're always looking for some kind of shortcut, you know? That I'll stand in Radha Kund and 108 times I'll say this, and then, you know, that's it, finished. I don't have to do it. But we should know that none of these things will have effect unless we do the basic things of controlling our mind and senses and surrendering to Krishna. There's no shortcut. There's no love of God without that. So we may think that, you know, I'll go and live in Vrindavan. We can't enter Vrindavan without controlling our mind and senses and surrendering to Krishna. You can get a ticket on whatever airlines. There's no Croatian airlines, there's a flight to Delhi. Anyway, you can buy an airline ticket, go to Delhi, plan it all out, get a taxi from the airport or whatever, go to Vrindavan, book your room in the guest house. You can go there. But actual going to Vrindavan is Bishoy Charya Kobi Shuddha Habe Man Tabe Hamahera Boshri Vrindavan. It means giving up desires for sense gratification. Then we can actually see Vrindavan, enter Vrindavan. So we should work on these basic processes very carefully. Then everything will come in due course. Of course, we can find, you know, some Maha Bhagavat, Maha Paramahamsa, Ashtotarashata Shri, who will say that you just come to me and I'll bless you and then you'll get instant Krishna praying. And if we want, we can be cheated in such a way. And we can hear so many stories about gopis and so many things. Without the basic background of Vishaya Charya Kabe Shuddha Habe Man, it's all to suggest to people that you can get instant gopi prem is just cheating. Just cheating. We have to do the basic things first. But this is the essence. It's the essence. This is the highest. It's the highest. But you have to go through the basic stages first. I can walk into the school and the children are learning 2 plus 2 equals 2. Why are you teaching them 2 plus? I'll teach them something higher. I will teach them calculus. Why are you teaching them 2 plus 2 equals 4? How are you going to teach the children calculus? If they don't know what 2 plus 2 equals 4 is, they don't know basic multiplication, algebra, and all the different steps, then how are you going to teach them calculus?
kako ćete ih naučiti neko više
materijal? You can tell the children, ah, they're just teaching you some basic thing. I'll teach you something higher. And they meant, oh, okay. And you can go to them, and the children can cheat themselves that you see, I got, now I'm on a higher level, but they're not. They can say calculus, cosine, tangents, all these words, but they don't understand what it means. Unless you have the basic training. So just have faith in this process. Follow it, and in the course of time, everything will come. And this, I am saying it's nice, but this is not going to give love of God. Because there's no, for a start, it's not following the scientific process to become purified. And another thing, there's no such motive either. There's no, so if we tell these people that, here, we'll give you a process by which you can get pure love for God, they won't be interested. They want, what can I get from God? Daily bread and everything else. Bread, wine, cheese, everything. What can I get from God? They haven't been trained in the process of loving God, which is based on pleasing Him, instead of going and asking God, you are very powerful, you should please me. So that is, you could say, a very primary stage of God consciousness. But no one's going to get love of God by doing this. It's not going to happen.
Well, these things appear on my senses.
Yeah, what about it?
It's real.
It may be. Maybe some mysticism, but it's got nothing to do with love of God. There's a stigmata, it's called. Stigmata, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That's Latin. It may mean there's some mystic transference due to their intense concentration. But there's no training in loving or even understanding who God is. They made a big mistake. So many mistakes, but one major theological mistake they made is to think that Jesus himself is the Godhead, which he never said himself. They made so many mistakes.
He has some personal experience. Is it okay, or maybe to ask this question, or maybe you have maybe time to speak with him later?
Yeah. Personal experiences, they come basically under two headings. Material and spiritual.
There's some practical question to ask.
You can ask it, no?
Which people?
It's not, no.
Parents are seriously ill.
Mm.
So what is the duty of a child if he's trying to become devoted? To help her? To help the parents? Or maybe to go to a certain temple and kind of become Krishna conscious and help them that way? By becoming by yourself Krishna conscious?
You have to see the different circumstances. If there's no one else to help them, then then it would be, if there's no one else to help them, then you could, help with their material things and chant Hare Krishna to them.
I can offer Krishna consciousness to them, like by offering them prasad.
Yeah. And then when they pass away, then you can come. Yeah, you can translate that?
I didn't hear.
He said, when they pass away, then you can join the temple. Whatever you want. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He said, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who was the only son of his parents, it seems, he came to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, your parents are old, you go back and don't marry. When you look after them, and then when they pass away, then you come and join me. Of course, his parents were Vaishnavas. So you can consider also, if the state has some system for looking after old people, you could consider let the state do it also. That's also a possibility, because if you're serving Krishna by distributing books and so many things, you can help so many other people to become Krishna conscious. So there are different possibilities.
Yeah, he said that
his father is alcoholic. It's pretty difficult to help him to become Krishna conscious.
Actually, it's a written question, it's a little bit longer, so I have to...
Do you want to summarize it?
First, I have to read. The conditioned souls has four imperfections. By my experience, in majority of cases, people are changing after they went through serious life suffering. They become acceptable at the end of their lives. I have a job on which I very often meet people. People with delicate situations, and I have opportunity to use their sad position and start scientifically explaining how their whole life they were actually wrong. What should I do? Of course,
do it.
Do you want to put that on pause? Okay. What about the ski?
It is the end of life.
So it will be declining.
It's very, very, very difficult.
Oh, they have so many physical difficulties, is it like that?
Of course.
Well, preaching, you see, is such a thing that you have to see each individual how to deal with them. If you read this Prabhupada Lilamrita, especially the whole big unabridged. You'll find Prabhupada in so many different situations, how he met people, how he dealt with people. So there's no one formula of how to deal with people in Krishna consciousness in each situation. But you can get the basic idea is to gain people's attention and then speak to them about Krishna in a manner that they can accept what is being said. In many cases, if people are distressed and they're willing to listen to you, I would imagine that in many cases you could tell them that in my personal life I found this to be very useful, you can try it also. And of course it's always very helpful to give people Krishna Prasadam and Prabhupada's books. It's always very helpful to them. And as you say, there are many people in the later stages of life who take up Krishna consciousness. I just met one yesterday. He said, "My life is like a jamil," he told me. I first came in contact. You know the story of Ajamil? That's told in Srimad Bhagavatam. That he was a very pious young brahmana or priest. But he got distracted due to association with a prostitute. And he spent most of his life doing all bad things. Then just as he was about to die, he called out Narayana, which is a name for Krishna. I'm just making the story very simple. And then he was, by the grace of Krishna, he was saved from death, and then he had a chance to again take up Krishna consciousness. So this man told me yesterday that when I was 22 years old, I was in contact with the devotees. Then I went away. Now I'm 49. And he got his head shaved. He's all this long hair. So now I'm coming back. Hare Krishna. There's one lady I know. I mean, she happens to be my disciple. She's from, she's Bashkir, which means she's from Bashkirstan, which is a republic in Russia, a Muslim republic. So she's living in Tatarstan. She was living there, which is another republic. So she knows Bashkir language and a little bit of Tatar and hardly any Russian. It's very simple old woman. But she was the top book distributor in that town. So, because she used to go with her grandson door to door in these apartment buildings. And, you know, she's an old woman. She told Toby, "We have to take this book." And she wouldn't let them not take it. And because she was old, the people respected that, you see. And many times people would tell her, "Well, I don't have money," which was true because they don't get paid. So she'd ask, "Well, when do you expect to get any money?" She'd write it down and she'd come back. So determined. So, in countries where people have a slight modicum of culture, which I can imagine from this going to the church and singing, they have some kind of culture left, something. It's, you know, it's like a, it's a drop of a perverted reflection of culture, but something is there. So people may still have some respect for older people. Is it like that here? There's a general kind of respect for older people. Is it? It's going away, is it? So the thing is that why do people? Why will you respect all if they're just drunkards, like you're saying? If they have, if themselves they live such a wanton life, then no one will respect them. Wanton means unself-controlled, whimsical. But if people have any respect for older people, then that's good for preaching, actually. You can use that. It's just I see myself that people, I think just because of the fact that I'm a little older than I used to be, which is true for most people, they get older gradually, that people tend to, I mean, even gross karmis, they tend to take you more seriously. So it's also somewhat, can be used in Krishna's service, this growing old business. They may think you're crazy, but then if they think, well, if he's been practicing Krishna consciousness 30 years, then at least he's serious about being crazy. Maybe he's not so crazy after all. Well, that came up recently, actually. Someone was saying that someone was interviewing one of my godbrothers and said, well, you know, if he's been practicing Krishna consciousness for 30 years, then there must be something to it. There must be something serious if you go on for so many years doing these things, which, after all, for most people to live for 30 years with no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication, not even coffee. I mean, people don't even consider that intoxication. Intoxication, probably here they don't even consider beer intoxication. It begins with wine. Huh? Even that's hardly, that's also just something new. Yeah. Intoxication means, yeah, it actually it is. Prabhupada said that also. In Ayurveda, a little bit is actually good for health. I'm not saying to drink wine, but it can be good. A little bit. In Ayurveda also, there are so many medical wines. So anyway, we don't take wine, but you know, when they consider intoxication begins with like hard spirits, right? Wine is just something you drink at home.
In the church.
In the church. So when we say coffee is intoxication, you just can't understand, you know, coffee? Can't understand it. And then no TV, no holidays. I mean, the holiday means you put the, you know, the family and the dog in the car and you drive off to the coast. And then you sit on the beach and in Sahotra Swami's words, you become a stool pakora. Means inside it's stool and outside it's cooked brown. So we don't do that. We go to the beach also because you're at the beach. We go there and chant Hare Krishna. But we don't have a holiday as such. So people can't imagine, how can you live like that? Well, either they're crazy or there's something serious about it. So people start to think, well, maybe there's something serious. So being older is a good situation to preach also. It has its advantages. Another advantage is that even though we may have wasted all our life, now we know there's not much time and we have to be serious. Anything else?
Često među baktama je običaj da kažu molim.
Here among the devotees, they say to each other, please pray to Krishna for my sake.
Yeah, that's a Catholic thing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Pray for me, say a prayer for me.
Is it okay that ako osoba koja bi se trebala moliti ima problem?
Recimo ja koja imam vojno problemu sa njih, da li u redu da ja molim?
Is it okay if we personally have some difficulties in spiritual life that we say prayers to Krishna to, for somebody else's sake?
That's very nice. We should. It's nice that we pray to Krishna for others. And it's nice we can ask others that you please. You pray for me. That means that we're seeking the blessings of the Vaishnavas. We should always seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So please pray for me. Prabhupada said that. To his disciple, he said, Prabhupada, how can we pray for you? Said, you're all Vaishnavas. Krishna will listen to your prayers. Prabhupada was so humble. He came to save us and he's asking us to pray for him. Now the service is finished. I remember because I used to go to church every Sunday. And it just didn't seem right that we'd go straight from the church over the road to the bar. First of all, open, you know, light a cigarette because it's 45 minutes, they have no cigarette. So come out, chat a little bit and then go to the bar. So something seemed wrong to me. So we shouldn't do that in Krishna consciousness. Don't make it cheap. Don't make it another bona fide religion. Bonafide religion, accepted, certified by the beef eaters.
How should they preach to those people outside to stay fixed in their own religion? I heard that's Prabhupada said so, that we cannot say, we just must stop doing that.
How should we preach to different to people who are already following a religious process? Well, mostly we're talking about Christians here, isn't it? Because we're in a nominally Christian country. We see how Prabhupada preached to Christians. Tell them, stop eating meat and chant the names of God. And if they would, Prabhupada wouldn't go beyond that. If they didn't agree to that, Prabhupada wouldn't. There's that interview, you can see it's filmed, Prabhupada talking to Cardinal Daniello in France. And he was saying, the Cardinal was saying, we should speak of higher things. Prabhupada said, no, first you accept this point. First you accept, stop killing animals. Then we can discuss other things. And in Australia there were some people, there was one seminary where they accepted this, and they, on Prabhupada's direction, they stopped eating meat. Actually, not even Prabhupada's disciples. And so Prabhupada was very pleased with that. But unless they have some, unless they're prepared to listen, there's not much use. If you have any experience, there's not. You know, if someone's like a committed Christian, they say, oh, very nice. And leave them and go on to someone else. Most of them, they're not willing to listen to what we have to say or to follow anything. In general, for preaching among people in general, this program, having festivals with Harinam, distributing Prabhupada's books, distributing prasadam, that's for people. And then that's the general program for everyone. And then when they, if people express some more interest, then we can explain. But if we just go onto the street and someone with no background, no interest, and try to convince them to change their lives, it's, Prabhupada indicated that it was almost a waste of time. It's better to, Prabhupada said, what will your 3-minute speech do? Better they give them a book. Give them a book means give them one of Prabhupada's books, not just any book. Go and pull a book off the bookshelf. You have to give them Prabhupada's books.
Hoću pričati o dva načina kako se stječu iskustva. Iskustvo se osobno, onda je bilo prekinuto jer je krivo bilo svačeno. Pa da li može nastaviti?
Osobno stječe iskustvo?
Da, ne znam, Marijan je rekao da, da on ima iskustvo i kako onda on krivo svača, može se imati krivo prema. Uglavnom hoće pričati o dva načina kako osoba može imati iskustvo neke.
Previously you spoke how a person can have like how a person, there are two ways how a person can gain experience. But this devotee, I think I mistranslated this, or he didn't hear this when you were answering his question that there are two ways how a person can gain experience in Krishna consciousness.
Did I talk about that? Anyway, what's the question?